Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and redeemer, and that your spirit would open all of our hearts to hear your word and to make it our lives. Amen. I mentioned going to Genesis earlier, and nursing home ministry is something that I actually started doing when I was in seminary. And I remember being at the nursing home one day in seminary, and I was trying to engage as much as you can, whoever's there, and so I asked, what did you want to be when you grew up? When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up? And a couple of them had answers, but one of the women said, it's important that she was a woman, said, I never was asked that question when I was a kid. Now, that was probably 10 years ago, and she was probably, 90 at the time, so if you think about it, that's 100 years ago that she was born, and so she's probably growing up in a time when no. That was not a question that many women were asked. It was a question that she never really considered. And that, I was thinking about that this week because our topic for today is living with purpose. Living with purpose. And I think when we hear that idea that we're, supposed to live with some sort of purpose, our minds immediately go to that question of career, vocation. What do you want to be? What do you want to do when you grow up? And I realized that this woman's experience of not really considering that question may seem kind of outdated and like a long time ago now, but that's actually been the experience of most people throughout the history of the world. That this was not a question they asked. In the ancient world, 97%, and this is a ridiculous, like you can't find anything that's 97%. 97% of sons followed in their father's line of work. In the time Jesus is talking here, 97% of sons followed in their father's work. Now that's, again, males. So in the ancient world, we're probably talking about 98 or 99% of people knew exactly what they were going to do as far as their career went when they were a kid. They were going to do what their father did. They were going to be a mom or, work around the house as their mother did. Like, this was not a question for anyone. When you talk about purpose, when we talk about the purpose of our lives, no one was thinking career. They knew what their career was. Career and purpose are different questions. And so as we ask this question about what it means to live with purpose, we want to take a step back from how we normally, I think, just knee-jerk think about that question and see what the Bible was really talking about when it talks about our purpose as followers of Jesus in this world. Barbara Brown Taylor, who's the author of the book An Alternate World that we've been going through this summer, she talks about her own struggles with this question, which I think a lot of us have struggled with, this question of what she was going to do with her life. And she actually was wrestling with this question while she was in seminary. So she's surrounded by people who have very clear callings. And if you go to seminary, there's a lot of people who have some very clear callings about exactly what God is going to do with their lives. And she talks about how, she says, earlier in my life, I thought there was one particular thing I was supposed to do with my life. I thought that God had a purpose for me, and my main job was to discover what it was. And I think a lot of us would agree with that. We've grown up thinking God has a purpose for your life, and you just got to figure out what it is. And I think, not even in theological terms, even outside the church, people have that feeling. As a parent, my job is to help my kid figure out the one thing that they're supposed to do with their lives. What is that thing that they have to do? And she agonized. Barbara Brown Taylor agonized over this for weeks and months, and she would pray nightly and ask God, what am I supposed to do with my life? And then she writes, then one night, when my whole heart was open to hearing from God what I was supposed to do with my life, God said, anything that pleases you. What? I said, resorting to words again. What kind of an answer is that? Do anything that pleases you, the voice in my head said again, and belong to me. Now, that's not my exact experience of calling, but this is a question people ask me a lot. Like, how did you, you know, get called into ministry? And I think they expect this, like, pew, lightning bolt. And, you know, some people have that. You know, Martin Luther had that. So others have had that. But for me, I can, in some ways, echo Barbara Brown Taylor's experience that for me, the lightning bolt, if there was one, there wasn't literally one, but that moment for me, that most powerful, dramatic moment for me, was not God saying, you need to be a pastor when you grow up. That moment for me was God saying, follow me. You need to give me your life. And for me, it was soon after that that I did feel the call to be a pastor. But the most important question, the first of importance, was surrender to me. Give me your life. Give me your purpose. And now the chronological order of our career, when we discover our career and when we surrender to God, is not that important. What's important is the priority we place on those two things. For us to recognize that of first order importance is our call to follow Jesus, is our call to belong to God, is the call to put our lives in God's hands. And of second order of importance is whoever pays the bills, and however we pay the bills. And I think that puts into context what Jesus has to say in Mark 12 for us. And I think a lot of us are probably familiar with this. We call it the Great Commandment, right? So someone comes to Jesus, and this probably happened fairly often. This was a big question among Jews of the day, and they come to Jesus and say, which commandment of these 600-some commandments, which is the most important, which is first? And Jesus answered, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And that's important, obviously. When Jesus says, this is the most important commandment, and this other one is like it, and of almost equal importance, that's important for us. And I think we know that, but I think a lot of us really only think of that in compartmentalized terms. You know, like, love God, love your neighbor. Love God, I'm going to love God on Sunday morning. That's what I do on Sunday morning. I love God. You know, or when I do my Bible reading, I love God. And I love my neighbor when I do charity work. You know, when I do feed my sheep, or when I do go downtown and help out, or whatever it is. Or even when I do just some basic kindness for someone else, I love my neighbor. And that's great. But what I think that Jesus is saying, and what actually Moses is saying, because he takes it right from Deuteronomy 6 when Moses said it, what God is saying in this is not do things that love God and love your neighbor, but rather your life's work, your life's purpose, everything you do in life is to be directed at this one calling, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is your purpose right here. This is your purpose. Not find time for it in between all the other things you have to do. This is your purpose. From the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep. Love God, love your neighbor. And so when we ask about our purpose, our first question isn't, you know, what should I do with my, you know, what career should I pursue? The first question is, how can our work express a love of God and a love of neighbor? 1 Peter 4 has, I mean, I think it's just a beautiful few verses, and we could really pull a lot out of this, but I was really struck by this phrase, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Now this is our calling, this is our job, that we are managers, we are stewards of the manifold graces of God. Now, what those graces look like look different in our lives. I mean, some of them we share. Some of these gifts we've all received. But some of them are different. We have different abilities and different experiences and different whatevers. Like, we all have, but grace is just keeps coming down from God. Grace, grace, grace. And our job is to steward them. So if you want to know, like, what should you do when you grow up, if you're one of our young people among us, the answer is steward God's grace in whatever you do among the people of this earth, among your neighbors. Be a steward of God's grace. And then more specifically, he says, in word and deed, whoever speaks. How many of you speak? Raise your hand if you speak. Okay. So this is your calling. I've got a vocation for you right now. Here's the lightning bolt. Whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Now there's a purpose for your words, right? So when you open your mouth, I'm overwhelmed by this even just saying it as someone who opens my mouth consistently. When you open your mouth, speak as one speaking the very words of God. So in our words and in our deeds, whoever serves, how many of you are called to serve, right? Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said when he washed the disciples' feet, as I have loved you, love one another. If anyone wants to follow after me, you must be take up your cross and follow me and become the servant of all, right? So all of us who are here today are called to be servants. So whoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. There you go. What else do you do with your life, right? Word and deed, all for the glory of God and all to serve our neighbors. So let's go back to the ancient world when career choice was really not a thing as Jesus walks the earth. And we have to recognize in our time and place that really career choice, there's a huge level of individual and cultural privilege that goes with even being able to ask the question, what should I do with my life? What should my work be? Right? So for me, it is no small privilege that I got this call to say, you should be a pastor, and I could actually do that. Right? There's no small level of privilege that so many people in our society can actually ask that question and have the possibility of pursuing a path different from the one that our parents took. We have to acknowledge that, first of all. But within that, then, we have to take that step back. And before we ask this question of our kids and our students and our college students, and even folks who are working and not sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, before we ask the question, what do you want to do when you grow up? We need to ask questions like, who are you called to be? How are you called to serve? How is God inviting you into the recreation of all things in the mold of love? The question is not just this open-ended, what do you want to do with your life? It's what specific form will your love for God and love for neighbor take? Barbara Brown Taylor writes, whatever I decided to do for a living, it was not what I did, but how I did it that mattered. God had suggested an overall purpose, but was not necessarily going to supply the particulars for me. And for me, that, I think, lifts a huge burden off our shoulders. And I hope for those of you struggling with what you want to do, what you're going to do with your life, I don't know that each one of us has this single thing that you have to figure out, and if you don't, you totally miss it all. And if you don't, by the time you graduate from college, right, or graduate from high school, or whatever it is, you're done. You're outside of God's purpose for your life. That is not how it works. For some people, your vocation, your purpose, your calling by God, and your career are going to fit neatly into one another. And that is awesome if it does. And I'm thankful that for me it does, honestly. And for some of you it has and does and is now. That's awesome. For some of you, though, your work is to learn to live out your vocation, your purpose from God, within whatever your career is. So sometimes people hear these, oh, God has a purpose for me. I got to quit my job and start something else. That is not what I'm saying here. And maybe that is. I don't know. Sometimes God calls you to acts of faith and take that risk. I don't know. But that's not what I'm necessarily saying. For some of you, the work you're doing now that you thought was just to pay the bills, you need to realize that you are actually called within that job, within that work, to find how God is calling you to love God and love your neighbor through that work. That's a real work for some of you to try and figure that out. Now, for some of you, where you live that vocation mostly might be outside of your career. So you might have your career, and yeah, you kind of got to do it to pay your bills. And even still, I would say God wants you to love him and love your neighbor in that career. But for some of you, it means finding something outside of that, some volunteer thing. Coaching is one thing that for me, I feel like that is a way that I can love God and love my neighbor. I come alive when I coach. And that's outside, in a sense, my career. And some of you have to find those things. That's where you're going to really live out your purpose in a way that makes you really come alive. But the other thing is, we all have a rest of our lives. A lot of you here are retired. Your purpose isn't done. And we do a great damage to our retired communities when we act like purpose and career are the same thing. And then you retire, and it's like, what am I good for? Right? That is not the case. You have a purpose. When kids are in school, they don't have a career yet. They haven't figured out what they want to do with their lives necessarily yet. We do a disservice to them when we say, oh, you have to wait to graduate or wait to get your first paycheck for you to actually have a purpose in life. Our purpose is to love God, to love our neighbors, to be stewards of the manifold graces of God in this world. Now, yes, it still comes to these questions. What are the specifics of that? And we've talked about those before. Frederick Buechner has one great line that helps us. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. That's a great, beautiful way of, you know, what is my deep hunger? What is my deep, where is it here? Deep gladness. Where is my deep gladness? Where is the world's deep hunger, right? Where do those meet? And that's a great way of figuring out some of those specifics. We've talked about the idea of shape, that you look at your spiritual gifts, you look at what stirs your heart, you look at your abilities, you look at your personality, your experiences. That all spells shape, by the way, if you put it as an acronym. Right? You look at all those things and you say, okay, maybe I can kind of catch God's fingerprints on these and get clues as to where specifically God is calling me. But it helps to start with, I'm called to love God and love my neighbor and to steward the graces of God. Henry David Thoreau, a great American writer in the 1800s, one time wrote, "The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation." And that is certainly no less true in our time. Meaninglessness and purposelessness are endemic in our age. With all of the options of things we can do, we struggle, maybe more than any other age, with not feeling purposeful, not finding meaning in our lives and in our work. And I think it's because we look for purpose and meaning in our career rather than our Creator. If we are to live like Jesus, we simply ask questions like, where can I create? Where can I stir things up like Jesus did? Where can I pass on wisdom? Where and how can I point people to God's love? How can I channel God's healing? I serve. How can I sacrifice for another's good? Where can I bring hope? And I think if we ask these questions, God will lead you to those specifics of where and how. My parents' house, we like to joke around when we go there, they have shrines to my brother and me there. I don't know if you grandparents or you parents who have kids out of the house have done this. I don't know. Maybe it's just my parents, but they have all the plaques and awards and things and whatever that I got, you know, when I was younger, hanging up all over, and somewhat embarrassing. But I brought the award that I really cherish the most today. I asked my mom to bring it in this week when she came in, and it's right here. This is it. This is it, right? So of all the, like, glittering and glistening plaques and trophies and what have you, this is the one that I cherish the most. I got it this summer before seminary, and I spent that summer landscaping. I spent that summer basically doing whatever I was told, and I actually find great freedom in sometimes having that experience. Just tell me what to do, and I'll do it, right? Weeding, planting, mowing, digging trenches. That's one of the fun ones in the summer, right? Digging a trench. That's good stuff. Building patios, hauling rocks, mulching, and more. Whatever I was told to do, I did it that summer. And I can tell you, and I knew, that that was not my calling in life. That was, for some people it is. But I knew, I was going to seminary in the fall. I wasn't going to be a landscaper the rest of my life. But I believe sometimes that I was able to have as much impact there for God in that summer than I do sometimes in the church as a pastor. And I had to figure out in that time, as I was going to work every day, how am I called to live out my purpose in this thing that is not my career calling? And so one of the things I did was, as much, probably half for my own entertainment as anyone else's, but every day I would come up with the landscaping remix of the day, okay? So I like words, I like creativity, and when you're mulching, you can only, you know, be present in the mulch and commune with God in the mulch so much. And so I would spend my time distracting myself by taking some song, some popular song, and transforming the lyrics into something that had to do with landscaping. And at some point in the day, or at the end of the day, I would share that with my fellow coworkers. And I thought, I'm getting nervous now. I'm getting really nervous. I thought today I might debut. It's the church debut of one of these songs. Hold on just a second. And this is a song that was on the radio every day, literally every day in the truck. It was a song that's called Back to the Remedy. Okay, it's by a band called Seether. And I was going to play a video of it so you could get a taste for it. But then I thought better of that. I thought you might not let me back in the church. Okay, so I didn't. But I am going to sing it for you. And as far as I know, the song is about drugs. I don't know. I didn't study it too much. But that's what the song is about. But this version is not about that. This version is about not going back to the remedy, but going back to the bed of weeds. Okay? All right. Y'all ready for this? Take a pill if your back starts to kill. You know it's not a thrill, but still you go back to the bed of weeds. It's hot, your knees are nearly shot. Poison ivy you just got, but still you go back to the bed of weeds. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I will never do that again. Never, ever again. Let's thank our band. We got Kevin on keyboard. A reprise. Okay, here we go. You ready?
Yeah. One, two, three, four. take a pill. If your back starts to kill, you know it's not a thrill. But still you go back to the bed of weeds. It's hot, your knees are nearly shot. Poison ivy you just got, but still you go back to the bed of weeds. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, right. Probably shouldn't have done it twice.
Yeah, no, we should have stuck with one. Thank you for that, Dave. Appreciate it. All right. I left it all out there on the first time. So, all right. So, this award. You can't read it, obviously, but it says right here, back to the bed of weeds. They gave it to me the day before I left for seminary. It's my last day of work. And in the time of that few months that I was doing landscaping remixes and mulching and doing all that stuff, what happened was, one, it was good for morale, right? To just do something that was joyful and fun in the midst of drudgery, right? But two, as the summer went on, guys would talk to me about their girlfriend situations. They talked to me about their families. One of the guys couldn't drive because he had a DUI. And we talk about that and where he was going from there and what he was doing with his life. I went to the bar when one of their bands was playing. I don't know if they played Back to the Remedy, but when their band was playing, I went there and we talked more and got to know each other. And in that time, I realized that your purpose as a Christian, my purpose as a Christian, wasn't merely being a pastor. My purpose as a Christian is to love the people that God has put in front of me. And in so doing, to show the love that God has shown me. So my encouragement and prayer for you this morning, as you seek to live out your purpose, is that you can find that purpose in whatever it is that is going on in your life, whatever your career is, whoever your neighbors are. Like, you don't have to go and change everything around you. You can live this purpose wherever you are, whomever you're with, as long as you draw on the goodness and the graces that God has bestowed in your life. Amen. Amen.